Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back, everyone. Before I get into such a very hefty and exciting conversation, I do want to do a small plug again for Fall Learning Week. So by the time you're listening through this, please be aware that actually our hotel room block will close September 14th. So obviously you can still register, but if you want to get into the hotel room block for Fall Learning Week in Little Rock in October, please take action at our website at destinationsinternational.org. All right. So today's conversation and guest to this show is really here to discuss one of, if not the de facto flagship research project that we just released at our annual convention, which is the 2023 Destination Next Future Study. But what is the Future Study for those unaware? Well, a little bit of our history and funny, but we were chatting about this prior to the conversation, is that the trade association, both Destinations International, DMAI, IACB, have been doing some iteration of a future study for at least documented over 40 years. If any of you want to see my remote office, I do have physical copies dating back to the 80s where members used to fax in the responses. Well, today is a much different picture. So picture this, over 800 destination leaders from over 62 countries all coming together to share their take on the sector's trends and strategies shaping our landscape. This isn't just in a report. It is the biggest and most extensive survey of its kind, providing a sneak peek into the future of destination promotion and our communities. 2023 marks a decade of the current iteration of the study. And here to mark this milestone and break down a bit of the report in the realm of advocacy, I'm happy to bring on Paul Wimette, President and CEO of MMGY Next Factor, and Greg Oates, Senior Vice President of Innovation of MMGY Next Factor. Paul and Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Andreas. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So again, a little bit for the audience. I'll start with you, Paul, first, and then go to Greg. But would you guys mind giving a little bit of intro and background to yourself, to the industry, as well for Paul later on, a little bit of background of MMGY Next Factor. So Paul, if you wouldn't mind starting us off?
Sure. Well, I've been doing strategic planning, master planning work for over 25 years. I have done plans for airports, ports, nonprofit organizations, government agencies, and now literally hundreds of destinations and DMOs. 10 years ago, I was asked to lead the Destination Next project. And really since then, and with Destination Next taking off, I made the decision to leave the previous consulting firm that I had created and started Next Factor to focus on tourism. So for the last 10 years, I've been really focused on working with DMOs, destinations in the US, Canada, and abroad.
Wonderful. Greg, yourself?
Yeah, so I started the first 12 years of my career working for travel agent, meeting planner, trade magazines. I was traveling every week around the world, so that provided a really good foundation for both seeing all different types of destinations and DMOs as well. Then transferred to Skift for 6 years, where I moved away from editorial into partnership development and provided research and content strategy for DMOs and hotels. And then I joined Paul 5 years ago now this month to work with MMGY Next Factor and focus specifically on developing strategic plans and destination master plans.
Wonderful. Thank you both for sharing. Greg, congrats on the anniversary. Actually, it's kind of cool. It ties with the 10th anniversary of this study. Yeah. And just to emphasize to our audience, such a wealth of information, institutionalized knowledge, both of you bring to the table for the study. So on to the study itself. Now, even though we are talking today distinctly about the 2023 future study, as I mentioned in my earlier comments, this has been going on for 40 plus years of a iteration of the future study. I just was really curious from both of your perspective, what actually do you remember your first introduction of the association's future study for destination organizations? I'll hand it to you, Paul, first to start it off.
Yeah, this is a a fun topic. So I remember this very well because I was doing some work with DMAI at the time, and this was 11 years ago, and was asked to submit a proposal on the new Destination X program that was being contemplated, and that was, they wanted to do a blockbuster deal to celebrate the 100th anniversary of DMAI. And so that's when I first looked at the previous studies. At the time, the hot topic was, what can we do to make DMOs more relevant, which was a very interesting topic and one that continues to be a pretty hot issue today. So that was the first time. And then spent a fair bit of time with the board of DMAI talking about the new study. And I remember at the selection interview, I was asked a question: can you make recommendations about the perfect DMO for the future? And my response, and I think it shocked some of them, was it's impossible to come up with one prototype for the perfect DMO. It really depends on the culture, the laws, you know, the personalities, the institutions in different cities. And that's really what led the way for the scenario model, which I proposed. We really needed to look at different types of DMOs for different realities that, you know, communities face themselves in.
Absolutely. Greg, I'm just curious, your perspective, especially coming from SCIFT, your prior knowledge introduction to a future study?
Yeah, no, it was in the 2014 DI annual conference in Las Vegas where Paul got up and introduced the whole future study and scenario model. And I was just blown away because for the first time, for me at least, I saw a strategic roadmap that was structured and codified to help destination leaders increase the relevance and value in the community. And then it was funny because then there'd be an IMEX conference, there'd be another conference, and I kept going back and listening to Paul. And like after 2 years of that, Paul said, "You've listened to this so much, you could probably give the presentation yourself." And then here we are, where I'm doing exactly that. So it's been an interesting journey.
Wonderful. And I do want to give the audience a little bit of help here, just a little bit of the terminology. So today we're talking about the future study, which is the actual research report. Paul mentioned actually Destination X, the assessment, which is an assessment tool as part of it. So I think I'm sure you guys will interject in here. It'll help a little bit of the audience understand that. Now, everything you can hear today, please do not consider this entirely inclusive of the report. It is a massive 64 plus page document. Really wanted to pull apart some of the main articulates of it, but we'll, of course, put the report in the show notes and our website. But let's kick it off. So obviously, Greg, I follow a lot of your work online, so I thought this is the perfect question for you first was, what are your thoughts on AI being so high up on the trends of the report, given its relative recent introduction to our work in respect to large language models, i.e., ChatGPT, Bard, and others? So take it away, Greg.
Yeah, sure. So there's no short answer to that question. But it's just phenomenal, the interest. Not surprised that it went straight to number one, considering how ChatGPT reached a million users in 5 days. Just incredible interest, and at the same time, a lot of complexity. So yesterday, I was presenting on AI strategy to National Association CEOs in Canada, including Marshall Walden, CEO of Destination Canada. Last week in Denver, presented on AI strategy to Visit Denver's board, and really coming at it two ways. One in terms of how visitors are already there. Consumers are already using these tools, whereas, you know, we saw this at DI Annual, we heard it, where destination leaders are sort of on a wait and see what works and kind of dipping their toes. And then we came up with actual case studies where we're working on destination master plans and using AI strategy. So we're trying to talk about this and work with organizations, not at this sort of utilitarian level where you can use these tools for writing job descriptions, writing press releases, things like that, but really using them as strategic tools. And as you mentioned, not just ChatGPT, but looking at Microsoft Bing, Google Bard, and Claude, and really like what Perplexity is doing as well. So I think right now we're just sort of at a period where we're trying to understand what all the tools are and what they can do.
Absolutely. All right, next one's going to be for you, Paul, and I actually appreciate you giving a little of your background, because knowing you, I feel like you've done a strategic plan for land, sea, and air. I don't know a space you haven't gone yet. If we get to Mars, I wouldn't be surprised if I see a space next. We'll trademark that right now. But one of the other big takeaways that I saw here, so another big top trend and that really warrants its own conversation was, could you elaborate a little bit on the significance of prioritizing the creation of genuine and memorable customer experiences within the destination realm of management and promotion? I think that's something you know very well, something you've seen, and just want to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, there's no question that that is a critical driver of every destination. And this future study was the fifth future study that we've done in the last 10 years. Every study, the trend that visitors are increasingly looking for unique, authentic experiences has been number one or number two most important trend. So this is not new. This has been going on for a long time. But there's a lot of pressure on destinations, DMOs, to really continue to evolve, improve their destinations with new experiences. And what we've seen in really, we look at experiences since 2022, and it's amazing how the bar keeps getting raised. You know, we're seeing now drones being used. We've got these phenomenal LED, you know, light projection shows in different cities. We've got holograms now that are doing concerts in London and, you know, in the US. We've got, you know, murals, indigenous experiences. We've got incredible redevelopments of, you know, entertainment districts. So there's a lot of different areas here where, you know, there's opportunities to, you know, leverage what you've got and create all sorts of new types of experiences.
Thank you, Paul. Now, one of my favorite parts of the report is actually digging into the advisory panels. It's towards the bottom of, somewhat in the middle of the report, but I think digging in just for the audience, we actually have several different panels that make up the study. We have our global advisory panel, disruptors, industry, community, and then of course the client panels all make up very discrete verticals within the tourism sector. And I like to just kind of go through those quotes and kind of see some of the back and forth that comes in there. And one that I pulled out that I really liked was, and I'm going to direct this to you, Greg, was there is this complete lack of consensus in our industry and how to address environmental sustainability and climate change. But then on the other side of the report, it notes how environmental sustainability has shot way up as a priority for the communities. What is your sort of take on that disconnect here?
Well, I think the operative word in that first question was how to address. So there's increasing awareness of how important environmental sustainability is to our communities, as well as the havoc that climate change is wreaking on a lot of destinations. So that's why I think it was high in the rankings. What we meant in terms of lack of consensus about how to address that is because these are really big and tractable issues that are just overwhelming to even begin with. You look at Kamloops in British Columbia, their city tagline is destination of tournaments or something like that. So how do you welcome all of these high school tournaments when the forest is on fire, you know, a couple miles away sort of thing? So how do you address that? That's really where the issue is what do you do as a DMO to have a seat at a table to talk about resilience, really? And also talking about the lack of consensus, we had the global advisory board that was 70 people or something and broken down by five different regions of the world. And so when we spoke, say, with the Europeans and Matthias, the head of the German Convention Bureau, said, what are your priorities? He led with sustainability. So that's the most important thing for German convention landscape. Whereas in other parts of the world, that would be way down the list. So that's kind of what we're saying. It's all over the map, but everyone's aware that this is increasingly important for DMOs to have some kind of strategy to address.
Absolutely. And actually, shout out Matthias, another of our podcast guests not too long ago. Okay. All right. So this is one for you, Paul. And certainly there is no, you can't say funding without fun here. So several call-outs related to the report to funding and protecting revenue. Certainly all of us on this call know this is not something new to the report. What do you think makes it stand out this year in regards to just seeing about how do we fund ourselves and how do we protect our revenue stream?
Yeah, I think that the thing that really does stand out is how much more significant this is an issue today than it was a few years back. When we look at sort of our industry, pre-pandemic, we had nine, 10 years of record growth. Many organizations were, very stable growth environments for funding sources. And, what's happened the last couple of years, that's really been turned upside down. We're seeing many governments, and this can be at the local, county, or state level, that are really struggling dealing with a number of issues, safety issues, crime, homelessness, infrastructure shortages. And, in some communities, we're seeing, some shifts in thinking and priorities about, where public funds, funds collected should be allocated. So we're seeing some DMOs getting dragged into, those types of discussions. One of the questions we asked in the future study was, do you see any or all of your funding at risk in the next 3 years? And what was interesting, a pretty big number, 37% of all of the respondents said that they saw some of their funding at risk. That's a pretty staggering number. The U.S. number was a little bit lower. It was actually the lowest of all of the regions. That was at 29%. But still, that's a significant number of our colleagues that I think are going to be facing, threats to their overall funding.
Absolutely. So next one on, and I think this is certainly representative of the global audience, was many notes and trends and issues relating to work, workforce, and the workplace, really up and down the pipeline. We're talking from remote work, workforce challenges in our own sector, seeing a generational shift in the workplace. Obviously, each one of those deserves its own conversation, but one that starts off with Greg first and Paul, Buzz, what did you get your take on reading all this about all these various facets of work and working? How do you understand them as the report laid out? So I'll go with Greg first.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting. And a lot of what's in there is also supplemented by the fact that we're in a different destination every week, and we have been for throughout COVID, where we've really seen workforce issues just blow up. And, we talked about how with the research and with all of the engagement with the advisory panels and the Global Advisory Board, sustainability was something where there was a lack of consensus. Diversity, equity, inclusion are these big, big themes where different parts of the world are coming at it in different ways. But workforce labor shortages was the most consistent, common issue globally in every kind of destination. Here in Vegas, it's a huge issue. In Vail, where we work, it's a huge issue. It doesn't matter, as well as around the world. When we were in Denver last week, it came up during the board retreat. The focus seems to really be engaging high schools more and working with partners more to advocate for our industry, both in terms of personal and professional development, and change some of the myths around it, et cetera, et cetera. We see Tourism HR Canada came out with a national campaign to advocate for the industry and support workforce development. I think it's another one of these big issues like housing and homelessness and childcare, climate change, that we're just trying to understand what DMOs can do. And I think, and this is something we talked with Richard Sharp, the CEO at Denver, we need to have more of a seat at the table, but we're not sure if there's the amount of case studies there to help guide DMOs. So we're trying to collect as many as possible, see where there's commonality, see where there's effective strategy, and share those more and more.
Thank you. Paul, your take.
Yeah, I agree with what Greg said. I think we have to look at workforce from two perspectives. The first is the general workforce for the hospitality industry. And, we've been talking about labor shortages, for the past several future studies, when the market was so strong in, 2018, 2019, we had a record employment levels, low unemployment. We had, significant hiring shortages then. That work continues. We've got to deal with, remote work, hours of work, pay benefits, all of those types of things. The thing that really stood out in this future study was a recognition that we have to do more to make sure that we attract and retain the talent that we have in our DMO community. And, I was shocked. Greg might know the number better than me, but the 30 Under 30 program, when you look at how many of these are our young up-and-coming stars, how many of them actually leave our industry, you know, after just a few years. And I think that really moved up. That was identified as a major, you know, strategy that we need to focus on, is really making sure that we keep these talented individuals, you know, within our DMOs moving forward. And, you know, part of that also is building the skill sets, you know, for our DMO workforce, in terms of making sure that they have the, you know, technology, you know, capabilities, they can deal with AI and sort of all of the, you know, disruptive technologies that are out there. So I think, you know, this is a big, big topic, you know, internally for DMOs and broader.
Thank you both for the responses to that. I kind of want to dig in a little bit of the magnitude of the study here. I often kind of compare it a little bit to, you know, the song Bohemian Rhapsody. Everyone's got their favorite part. Mine's kind of towards the middle when the guitar kicks in. You guys spend so much time with this report and study, and I'm sure you have sections that you really earmark that maybe people don't see it as clearly as you do. I actually want to ask both of you. To me, I feel like a lot of people look at the trends, but I love digging into the advisory group details, and I try to put more attention to that. I was curious your guys' take. Every year, do you feel there's parts of the survey that are overlooked that people should pay more attention to? I'll do Greg yourself first and then Paul.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because we literally spend 6 months buried in the data and the conversations, and we live inside this thing. So for me, it's interesting that there's, you mentioned that people are focused on the trends. For me, it's all about the strategies. Live and breathe, you know, what are the strategies that are helping DMOs increase their relevance and value? And so we look for what new strategies ranked really high, where like in 2021, it was the idea of not promoting the experiences, but the people behind the experiences, the value-based marketing. That came in at number four the first time in 2021. So that was really interesting. So are there new strategies that come in high, or ones where there were big jumps that were for whatever reason is so much more important there? And looking at that, both trends and strategies this time around, just this increased focus on community development and destination development. And we've been talking about that for years, but this is the first time where there's empirical evidence globally as an aggregate where destination leaders are saying we are taking a much more intentional and active role on the supply side of things to enhance the visitor experience. There's still a lot of debate and discussion about what that exactly means, but it's really interesting to see how now clearly the destination organization industry as a whole is on board with this idea. And so now our job is to, okay, well, what does that exactly mean? What are the new roles? How do you move resources around to do this? We're getting all kinds of questions from boards and organizations about that. So for me, that was really the sort of the big eye-opening takeaway from the future study this year.
Paul, I'm just curious yourself, any favorite parts or parts that you feel don't get enough attention they deserve?
Yeah, the part that I think is really important is the section on roles and KPIs. Because, you know, when we talk about, when we work with different DMOs all over, you know, the US, Canada, there's so many things happening now. There's so many areas that DMOs could potentially get involved in. So, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, homelessness, workforce, customer satisfaction, product development, event generation. These are all things that, you know, warrant a discussion about, you know, should there be a role for the DMO in addressing some of these things? We're never advocating that, you know, they should be taking the lead in all of these areas, but making sure that somebody in their communities are is really the critical piece. So I think that section does give a lot of insight into sort of what those, you know, potential roles and then how you measure them in terms of KPIs moving forward.
Absolutely. So final question for both of you. Every year this report grows in some manner or fashion, right? Whether it's languages translated to questions we ask, it grows. One thing I think we're extremely proud about this year is this is by far the most global study ever implemented, which is a huge point of pride that we have. actually wanted your guys' take, you know, really talking about the future of the future study. What are aspects to it that you'd like, how you would you like to see it grow? I'll go to you, Greg, first, and then Paul to finish it off here.
What I'd like to see happen more, starting with this one and subsequent future studies, is exactly what we're doing now, is we're taking this document and all this research, and we're digging into it more, and we're sharing it more. And I think Destinations International has done a great job of with the blogs and continuing the conversation, because sometimes in the past it's felt like, wow, we came up with this amazing insight. And it's sort of, I don't know if we leveraged it enough as an industry to really capitalize on all of the insights coming out of it. So I'd like us to keep doing this more and more, and also to really define what we mean by some of these labels that we're talking about, destination management versus destination development, community development. What does it really mean in language that not only everyone in our industry can understand and appreciate, but when we talk to boards and you have city council members and you have labor union leaders and you have arts and council CEOs, to use all this insight in a way that's really approachable so that we can bring communities together more effectively, you know, continue to do that. So that's some of my hopes for the future of this thing.
Paul, I do have to add for you, obviously you're looking at this from the lens from 2014 and probably already give a litany of things, how much this has grown. I just want to take the future, another 10 years. What would you like to see it grow with?
Yeah, I think that there's one area that it's a tremendous opportunity for all of us is, as we grow internationally, the one thing we have to be careful of is that average scores are a reflection of the reality, you know, around the world. And so one of the things that I was really spending a lot of time with Greg just before we presented at the DI annual was to look at the responses to different questions, trend strategies by region, to see how many, you know, differences there were across regions. And what was interesting was, for most of the areas, there was a lot of consistency in how DMOs responded around the world, which was really encouraging. And that's the message we give now to a lot of our clients is, you know, you're not alone. Hang in there. Everybody's dealing with the same thing. But there were some important differences, you know, sustainability, legacy benefits. There are certain things that advocacy, approaches mm-hmm. to advocacy, things that are different. So one of the things that I would like to see as we continue to build out is to do more regional reports, you know, breakouts of the main report to really help different regions of the world. And, you know, Destinations International is doing such a good job in expanding its global reach. Japan, you know, parts of Canada with CDLC, other places, Europe, is to really prepare sub-reports focused on specific regions. I think that'll really help.
Wonderful. This is a great end cap for the conversation. Paul, Greg, thank you so much for your time and insights today. I do want to ask, if the audience wants to learn a little more about the work that you guys do and how to find you, where can they go?
Go ahead, Greg. They should probably go to you. You're the brain.
Okay. Well, for sure. Our website is nextfactorinc.com, where I'm active on LinkedIn and Twitter. I mean, we're really easy to find. Plus, I think Paul is so well known around the industry that I think everyone already has Paul's email. So we're good there, I think.
All good. And again, I also have to do a small thank you to the Destination International Foundation. Without them, this actual report would not be feasible at all. And actually, I do want to plug again, Destination Next, the future study, will be at Advocacy Summit. We're looking forward to a session there. So if anyone likes what they hear today, besides checking out the report, come see us in Little Rock. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, Paul Wimette, and Greg Oates on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or checking out our content throughout the advocacy section at the website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.